And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What?
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is all business, all the time. Each of my guests is discussing his or her expertise in a business discipline. My next guest used his legal training to create a coherent account of the beginnings of modern business and the ancient predecessors that preceded it. We'll discuss his book, The Origins of Business, Money, and Markets. And if you have a question or if you want to call in and ask a question, you can call us at 639-0008. Keith Roberts is a member of the American Bar Association Judicial Division and an arbitrator and mediator in New York City. An attorney in San Francisco for several years before that, he helped found and served as an executive of an environmental magazine, a real estate consulting firm in the San Francisco Bay Area, the Preservation Group, and a developer which restored and preserved historic buildings in the Bay Area. Keith moved to New York City in 1979, where he became the CEO of Roberts Proprietaries Incorporated, which is a manufacturer and marketer of cosmetics and toiletries. In 1991, he also became president of Nouveau Laboratories, a contract manufacturer of health and beauty aids. Keith's curiosity about how business began led to his book, The Origins of Business, Money, and Markets. He sought to create a coherent account of those beginnings and the ancient predecessors before it. Joining us from the New York City area, welcome, Keith. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you.
Well, thank you.
It's a little hot here.
It is hot, and it's glad that we're in Southern California where the weather is temperate, and we actually have a marine layer today, which is keeping it even cooler. But thank you for writing the book. I think it's a fascinating study, and I also think it's fascinating that it was your curiosity that drove you to write this. But let's start with a head-scratcher for me, because most business historians trace the history of modern business back to the 19th century and specifically to the Industrial Revolution. You take a completely different approach. You trace it all the way back to civilization's earliest times. So why do we need to go back that far to understand the shape that we find our businesses in today?
Well, it turns out we didn't. I didn't think we had to do that either. I just was curious, as you say, about how it began. But once I got as far as the Greeks, I began to realize that what I was doing in writing the history of ancient business was creating a pretty simplified but reasonably accurate model of business as I understand it today. In fact, one of the questions I had in writing it was, how is my little business any different from the way business was practiced 2,000 years ago? And in most important ways, it was not very different at all. So once I created this model, then I began to look at the forces that impacted the business, how well it was doing, what was the health of the business community, how did people think about business people, and vice versa. You know, and so these, of course, are very contemporary questions.
Well, they're contemporary questions, and they're head puzzlers, too, because let's just break them down. There's so many things that you need to have in place for modern business today that may or may not have existed back in ancient times 2,000 years ago, Keith. But let's start with the one that you mentioned last, which was people's perceptions of business people. Now, in the Middle Ages, certainly people that were mercantile class were considered sort of lower class. You had the royalty, the nobility that owned land. You had the serfs, you had the slaves, you had the peasants. And somewhere between those two, you had the merchant class, which was just sort of emerging at that time. Business, historically, has never been looked upon favorably. We're sort of at the zenith of that right now, where a businessman today can be considered, you know, a god in his own world. So talk to me about the changes in perception towards business between, say, ancient Greece and today.
Well, you gave a very good summary, I think, of the way it's been since the Middle Ages. Actually, the very first business people who were the long-distance traders of the Mesopotamian and Persian empires, those very early empires, were very highly placed people. They were often the brother of the king or of the priest who ruled the state. The status of business people in ancient Greece was also quite high. The bank business was about the only way that a person could advance his own social status. I'm saying his because, for the most part, the business people were men.
Sure.
Business was doing very well in ancient Greece, it was only after that, in the Hellenistic period and then the Roman, when you brought in a lot of slaves to do the work of business, because the rich people of the time discovered that business was very profitable. So they had their slaves do the business. Once the slaves got involved, then the status of business fell, and the profits of business, for the most part, other than banking, also fell. So it was a very difficult way to earn a living. And, of course, then the people who did it, it's like the people in swap meets. They aren't earning a lot of money, as much fun as they may be having.
Right. Very true. My guest is Keith Roberts, author of the book, The Origins of Business, Money, and Markets. And, Keith, some of the things that we take for granted in business today didn't exist 2,000 years ago. And I'm just going to go cut right to it, take it right from your title of your book, and that is money. Money, central to us doing business today. More and more, the money is becoming electronic, but still, money is fundamental to this. So who invented money, and when did it really take off as the medium of exchange in all commerce as we see it today?
The inventor was some guy in the kingdom of Lydia, which was the kingdom of Midas and Croesus. So they were already known to be very rich.
Right.
Their wealth, however, came from a precious metal, which was a combination of gold and silver. And one of the other things that happened, Lydia was a neighbor to the Greeks, and at that time, Greek mercenaries were the best soldiers in the world for complicated reasons, which I won't go into, but nobody could touch them. They were absolutely the best. So the neighboring kings all wanted Greek mercenaries, and these Lydian kings in particular did, because they were fighting the Persians. And they were also fighting each other. They figured out that if they tried to pay the mercenaries with their metal, which was this combination, it wouldn't always work, because the amount of gold and the amount of silver varied, and the people getting paid wanted to know exactly what they were getting paid. They were very insistent on that. The result was that some Lydian figured out that if you melted the stuff down and you separated the silver from the gold, then you could create a hunk of it in pure gold that you could give to the mercenary. And those were the first coins. And the king stamped that hunk of gold with his own image, which was a bull at the time, to guarantee the purity of the gold. And the mercenary said, all right, that's good. That's worth about a year of pay. I'll take that. And they took it home. I don't know what they did with the gold at home. I think they clipped the coins in tiny amounts. But the Greek cities said, oh, this is a wonderful idea, and they started making smaller and smaller coins out of silver, which is what they had a lot of. And eventually those small coins became useful in the marketplace, because if you have a marketplace, what you need is purchasing power.
Right.
And the coins were purchasing power then as they are today.
Fascinating.
Purchasing power that's the fuel of business, just like gasoline is the fuel of automobiles.
My guest is Keith Rogers. We're looking at the origins of business, money, and markets. All right, Keith, so we've nailed down where money came from. Now, another integral part, which is relatively modern, is the invention of credit. Where did we get credit, and how did that become as big as it was that ultimately led to the crash that we just had in this Great Recession?
Well, here is a really amazing thing. You and I might think that credit is modern. The reality is it's about as old as business. The first business people who were long-distance traders, the first thing they did when they got back was they took some of the goods that they traded and they loaned them out. And they translated them into things like barley or gold that people valued, and they loaned that out to other people. So credit is about as old as business. And making it available to people is one of the earliest things that was ever done. Not only that, but they were very sophisticated. I came across an article by a president of Chase Bank, or predecessor of Chase Banks, who was boasting about how really advanced and sophisticated modern finance was, and he was talking about something called structured finance, which is that you structure a deal to give people different slices of the deal depending on their appetite for risk. So you give them a bond if they have a low appetite for risk, and you give them a riskier piece of the deal if they want, if they're more risky, risk-oriented. Well, I found an old document written about 2000 BC, which did precisely that.
Wow.
Of course, it was written on a clay tablet, so you couldn't quite say it was modern, but that was structured finance. They had it. They were as smart as we are.
That's incredible. That is. My guest is Keith Roberts. We're talking about markets, money, and our current marketplace. Keith, then part and parcel that comes along with credit, a close cousin, is interest. So when did interest come into existence? And interest is reviled in Muslim countries, so it isn't across the board where you get to charge interest. But when did the concept of charging interest on credit come into play?
The concept of interest was not reviled in most of the ancient world. It just seemed logical. Basically, there was a big difference between making a loan to somebody because they had suffered a disaster or they were a personal friend, where charging interest was not thought very well of, and I don't think we would think well of it either. Between that, on the one hand, and a business transaction on the other. If some guy came to you and said, I'm thinking of buying a perfume factory, you'd say, well, that's well and good. I'll share the benefit by charging you interest. So the Greeks charged interest. The ancient Jews charged interest. The people living in Mesopotamia and all throughout the Middle East, almost everybody charged interest. But farmers, and most people then were farmers, they were not in business as such. They were subsistence farmers for the most part. And the only time that they loaned money or were loaned money when it was a neighbor. And for them, charging interest was a real bad thing.
Mm.
And those are the people whose views prevailed in the Christian religion. So the early Christian church rejected the idea of charging interest. They called it usury. And as a result of that, they made it almost impossible for Western Europeans to charge interest on loans or to use credit for 1,000 years.
Well, isn't it interesting too, Keith, that it was the church, the Catholic Church, and in particular the Templars, that reinstated, if you will, both credit and interest as we went into the Crusades. They were the bankers that not only allowed you to transport money to and from Jerusalem, but also charge a little bit of interest and sort of pay back to the church. Is that not true?
Yeah. Well, people figured their way around the usury prohibitions. They came up with all kinds of clever ways to do that. And that's what those people did. They would, if you could prove that they charged interest, they would have had their heads cut off. Though they would have been in bad trouble.
Yeah, but that's far worse than any regulation that we face today. My guest is Keith Roberts. Keith, if you look back on it, and you've done extensive research on this, who are some of the most important figures in early business? If you trace it all the way back to ancient Greece and beyond,
I would say that the two most important people were Alexander the Great and the first emperor of Rome, Augustus. And I'll tell you why. Alexander the Great took what was at that point a tiny world of ancient Greece, not all of ancient Greece either, just places like Athens and some other city-states. And he then spread their culture and their marketplaces and their money all over the area that he conquered. And he conquered the known civilized world, except for Carthage and Rome in the mm-hmm. Western Mediterranean. He conquered everything else. He was amazing. And he was an idealistic guy, but that's what he did. Augustus, the emperor of Rome, had an enormous impact on business because he created a system, the Roman peace, which basically lasted about 200 years. It was the longest period of peace that Europe has ever known to this very day. And with that peace, it was possible for business to flourish as never before and as hardly ever since.
Hmm. Very interesting. Now, the Pax Romana was important because of that prosperity, that peace that it brought. But talk to me, Keith, about the interaction between both prosperity, business, and the need for law, and why those two things go hand in hand from ancient times all the way through to today.
Boy, you like to serve softballs, don't you? That's my business. Well, it comes down to an issue of trust. If you are dealing with members of your family or good friends, you don't need any laws. If you are living in a society that has very strong customary arrangements like Japan, you don't need formal law. But if you're trying to deal with people who are strangers to you and who are as happy to cheat you as to be nice to you if they can get away with it, you need law, and you need law enforcement, and you need people to adhere to the concept of a rule of law. You also need fair judges or decision makers of some sort who will actually rule in your favor if you're right. And if you don't have those things, like modern, like Russia right after the end of the Soviet Union, then nobody trusts anybody else for good reason. There is no basis for trust. And then you lose purchasing power because a lot of the purchasing power is from credit, which is based on trust, the trust that you'll be repaid. So that's the role of law in business.
And it's a very critical role as well. Keith, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, The Origins of Business, Money, and Markets?
That's a great question. The first thing I'd like them to take away is the notion of what makes business feasible, and business in the sense that it contributes to our prosperity. And so we've touched on it with the rule of law and with governments working cooperatively with business. Another thing we haven't yet touched on is that business is just one element of society. And business being about profitable sales is, we say it's selfish. It is. It's focused single-mindedly on making profits and getting sales. And you cannot have all of your social arrangements oriented to make that, to maximize those ends, unless you do a great deal of damage to the other things that society wants to have happen. You need balance. So although business has a voice, an important voice in what our public policies should be, once business gets to be the only voice, the commanding voice, we're all in a lot of trouble.
Ooh, sage advice. My guest has been Keith Roberts, author of the book, The Origins of Business, Money, and Markets. Keith, if people are intrigued by what they hear, they want to learn more about you, they want to learn more about your book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Two places. First, they can go to the places that sell the book. And secondly, they could go to a website called The Origins of Money, Markets, and The Origins of Business. Sorry, originsofbusiness.com. They'll find more about the book and other things.
Oh, that is great. My guest has been Keith Roberts. Keith, thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Well, thank you very much. This is great.